We can hear you fine, Jim.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for attending. We got a pretty good attendance today. Welcome, commissioners, staff, and members of the public to the June 2nd, 2020 virtual plenary session.
Good morning, Mr. Shannon of the corporate office. How are you?
My webinar.
Mr. Shannon of the corporate office. How are you?
Excuse me, but the chairman of the commission is speaking. Would you please not have background conversations or introduce yourselves until he's done? Go ahead, Jim. Sorry.
Okay. I hope that everyone is safe and maintaining necessary health and social distancing precautions to help reduce the spread of the coronavirus. The primary focus of the June meeting, in addition to considering regular procedural issues, is to conduct a rule adoption hearing on Rule 61G20, -1.001, 7th edition, 2020 update to the Florida Building Code, and to approve the Commission's annual reports to the legislature. As always, we will provide an opportunity for public comment on each of the Commission's substantive discussion topics. If you want to comment on a specific substantive Commission agenda item, please wait until the facilitator invites members of the public to speak at the appropriate times throughout the meeting. Public input is welcome, but should be offered before there's a formal motion on the floor. Jeff will now review the Commission's adopted webinar teleconference participation process before we take the roll call. Jeff?
Thank you, Ms. Chairman. Welcome, everybody. Are folks hearing reverberation?
Yes, I
hear
it too.
So that.
Yes.
Okay.
So I put my headset on
to try to make sure it wasn't coming from me, but I heard it from Jim too. So basically, the process is keep your phones on mute or keep your mute your VoIP on your computer by just clicking the green icon on the screen, and when it turns red. There's still a lot of background noise coming in, so it would really help if folks, except perhaps the commissioners who will be doing a roll call in a minute, mute your phone. Please speak your name. There's a lot of background noise. Please speak your names when you speak. Wait till you're called upon to speak. Commissioners, please state your names when you make and second a motion. Everybody will have an opportunity to speak at the appropriate time, so please wait until you're invited. I wanted to take a second to talk about some research about virtual meetings. And it really is about perceptions that are altered somewhat because of technology. So technology can alter our ability to accurately interpret subtle verbal cues and nonverbal cues as to their intent and meaning. We don't realize it, but we're not making the actual physical eye contact, and that's a big part of communication. So video calls actually require more focus than face-to-face meetings, and they can be more stressful because we really have to work harder to interpret what each other, our real intentions, to get congruence between our feelings and our minds. And research conducted in 2014 shows that delays on phone or webinars shaped our views of people negatively. Even delays of 1.2 seconds made people perceive the responder as less friendly or focused. So just be aware that that's not really what's going on. It's just disconnected in the virtual world that we have to be aware of. And you've heard of all this stuff like Zoom fatigue or, burnout from all these web meetings. And they're really helpful. But just be aware of that. It may help, when you're feeling a little something that may not actually be what's happening. All right. Should I go ahead and proceed, Jim, with the roll call?
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Thank you. All right. Commissioner Shock.
Here.
Commissioner Bahadori.
Here.
Commissioner Bax.
Here.
Commissioner Boyer.
Here.
Commissioner Brown.
Here.
Commissioner Smith Burke.
Here.
Commissioner Kaya.
Here.
Commissioner Compton.
Here.
Commissioner Dean.
Present.
Commissioner Fisher.
Here.
Commissioner Gatlin.
Here.
Commissioner Gerwig.
Here.
Commissioner Gilson. David? Well, he was here. Commissioner Goff?
Here.
Commissioner Groves? Jeff? You may have to unmute yourself. All right. Commissioner Homburger?
Here.
Commissioner John?
Here.
Commissioner Langille?
Here.
Commissioner Schiffer?
I'm here.
Commissioner Schilling?
Yes, I'm here.
Commissioner Smith?
Here.
Commissioner Stone? Jeff? All right, I'm going to come back to the three because I know they're on the phone. Commissioner Swoke?
Here.
Commissioner Whitehead?
Here.
Commissioner Wiseman?
Here.
All right, so I'm going to test the ones who didn't respond under the assumption that they muted themselves. Commissioner Gilson, Commissioner Gross, and Commissioner Stone.
Present.
All right. Testing one more time.
This is Jeff Gross.
Present.
All right, very good. So, Commissioner Gilson, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Apparently you're not hearing me.
Well, I hear you now. All right, we have 25 of 25. I believe that constitutes the quorum. Let me say one quick thing before we start. It's really going to be important that folks keep their phones and their computers muted when we're not speaking, because with so many people on, we have 98 people right now, it's bringing a lot of reverberation into the system. So like caller 36 and whoever has the phone marked Connor, if you would please mute your phones, that would be helpful. Thank you. All right, Commissioner Schock. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Jeff will now review the agenda proposed for the June's commission meeting.
All right, so our agenda today is to approve the agenda in the minutes, to decide on chair's discussion issues and recommendations, on executive director announcements, discussions, and decisions, to receive an update on the Florida Building Code 7th Edition 2020 work plan, to consider and decide on accessibility waiver applications, product and entity approvals, accreditor and course approvals, to receive a legal briefing, legal update report, to consider and decide on petitions for declaratory statement, to get a briefing on binding interpretation number 185, to hear from our various committees and work groups and their reports, and then to conduct a rule hearing on Rule 61G20 1.001, the 7th edition 2020 update to the Florida Building Code, and then to review and approve the final fiscal year 2019-2020 annual report to the legislature, to take any general public comment and then any issues for our August 4th, 2020 meeting.
Thank you, Jeff. Is there a motion to approve the June 2nd agenda as presented?
The Schilling, so moved.
Compton, second.
Is a motion made and seconded? Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Jeff. Next, we'll move to approving the April 7th, 2020 facilitator summary report and the meeting minutes. If there is any corrections or additions to the posted April 7th, 2020 facilitator summary report and the meeting minutes that were posted electronically in advance of the meeting. Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the April 7th, 2020 facilitator summary report and meeting minutes?
Schilling, so moved.
Motion to approve, Boyer.
It sounded like Schilling and Boyer. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Next, under chair discussions, issues, and recommendations. Under appointments is special occupancy tax. I'm appointing Doug Ayers to serve as the DEP representative, position vacated by the retirement of Tony McNeil. Thanks to Tony for his service and for Doug for agreeing to serve. If there's no discussion, I'd like to move this appointment. Is there a discussion? Okay, I'd like to move the appointment. Is there a second?
John Whitehead. We have a second from Commissioner Schilling and Commissioner Whitehead. Take your pick.
Oh, okay. Commissioner Schilling, I guess, is fine. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Under the milestone updates, just as a reminder, the updated commission milestone document is leading to this month's Florida Building Code agenda on the BCIS. Next, we'll move along to the Executive Director's announcements and discussions. Tom Campbell will provide the commission with relevant updates. Tom?
Good morning. At the April meeting, I announced that you would no longer be reimbursed for mileage at the 44-cent rate if you were driving your own car, and you would be paid no more than the cost of renting a car per state rules. Well, it was recently decided that commissioners and members of the department's boards could be reimbursed at the 44 cents per mile for driving their own cars. So there will be no changes to the travel reimbursement the policy for the next time that we travel. So it'll just be back to the way that it always was. Does anybody have any questions about that? All right. I'll go to the product approval fee waiver. At the December 2019 meeting, the commission voted to initiate rulemaking for Rule 61G20-3.007 to authorize the commission to waive product approval or the application fees for a specified period of time. Staff is recommending that the commission waive product approval the application fees for the period of July 1st, 2020 through December 31st, 2020.
Thank you, Tom. Commissioners, if there's no further discussion, is there a motion to waive the product approval fees for the period of July 1st, 2020 through December 31st, 2020? Is there a motion?
Move,
Mr. Stone made the motion.
Commissioner Brown, second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Tom?
That takes us to the Building a Safer Florida purchase or the order for 2020 through 2021. Staff is in the process of preparing the purchase order for next fiscal year's training funding. Regarding the minimum 1 hour the program category, staff is planning to dedicate more of the funding to topics that deal with changes in the Florida Building Code 7th edition 2020, along with hurricane mitigation, flood resistance, and wind resistance. More specifically, the purchase order previously allocated approximately 13,000 continuing education hours to general code education. This fiscal year, the purchase order will only assign 6,500 hours to general code education. The other 6,500 will be split between two categories. The first category will be changes to the Florida Building Code 7th edition 2020. The second category will be hurricane mitigation, flood resistance, and wind resistance requirements in the Florida Building Code 7th edition 2020. Does Does anybody have any questions about that? Okay.
Thank you, Tom. If there's no further questions, is there a motion to authorize staff to adjust the minimum one-hour program category to 6,500 hours for general code education, 3,250 hours of changes to the Florida Building Code 7th edition 2020, and 3,250 hours to hurricane mitigation, flood resistance, and wind resistance requirements in the Florida Building Code for 7th edition 2020? Is there such a motion?
Is there such a motion?
To approve, Boyer.
Have a motion for Boyer.
Compton, well, second.
We have a motion from Boyer and Compton.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Tom?
All right. The implementation of House Bill 1193. As you know, the bill passed that reduced the size of the commission from 27 to 19. This change will become effective on January 1st, 2021, and the commission needs to initiate rule making for Rule 61G20-2.001. To revise its operational procedures to reflect the elimination of the appointed chair position. Staff would like the commission to initiate the process now, and staff will bring back some options for your consideration at a rule workshop at the August commission meeting. Does anybody have any questions about that? Okay.
All right, commissioners, if there's no further discussion, is there a motion to initiate rulemaking for Rule 61G20-2.001? And is there a second?
Schiffer makes the motion.
Schilling the second.
Schiffer and Schilling, I believe it was?
Yes, sir.
Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Joe. Next on line is Tom again on future commission meetings.
Yep. As a reminder, the August 4th, 2020 meeting is currently set for the Embassy Suites in Fort Lauderdale, but we may need to switch that onto a webinar as well. We'll make sure to keep you all informed on that. And if we are to switch it, we'll do it at the same day and at the same time. The other two meetings that we currently have set are October 13th in Daytona Shores and on December 15th at the Hyatt in Sarasota.
All right. Thank you, Tom. I have to say I look forward to us all being able to get back together again. Next in line is the 7th edition 2020 Florida Building Code Work Plan Update. Momodani will now provide an update regarding the work plan / schedule for the development of the 2020 code update process, 7th edition 2020. Mo?
Good morning. This is Mo Medani. I hope you can hear me good. The work plan
Mo, before you go, could whoever's operating the screen just go ahead and put the work plan up as Mo goes through it? Thanks. Sorry, Mo. Go ahead. There it is.
Yeah. The work plan, as you see, is posted on the agenda, and it has been really a long journey. It started in 2016, and now we are in 2020. As you see, there is some changes we made in red. This mainly to incorporate those TAC meetings that we held for the February 11 workshop and also for the April workshop. One thing that we, you know, as you know, today we will be holding a hearing with to address comments received. We have received a few comments on the draft for the 2020 FBC as posted April 20 online. The next step would be to publish the notice of a proposed rule and then file the code with the state. One thing we are working on at this point with ICC is to is the publication and the printing of the code. At this point, the way it looks is that if all goes well, the code will go to the printer for the week of June 8th. So we're talking about very soon. And then the plan is to post online the final code edition 2020 in a PDF format July 27, and or the week July 27, and then the code will be available in for purchase, a hard copy, the week of August 17th, and then the searchable online 2020 it will be available on the week of August 31st. So we are kind of wrapping up the whole thing, and at this point, as stated in the work plan, the projected effective date is December 31st, 2020. For the code, we are, as a staff and working with some consultants, we are putting together some code resources to further clarify and, you know, and provide a quick study of the changes to the 7th edition, the Florida Building Code. Some of the stuff we're working on in conjunction with BASF and some consultants, we're working on putting together a brochure, a flyer, to describe the significant changes made to the energy code. Also, we're putting together a quick summary of the changes from the 6th edition to the 7th edition, which is a side-by-side analysis, which we normally do for when we update the code. We're also putting together a fact sheet for summarizing the major changes to ASC 716. As you know, we are adopting the new edition of ASC 7, which is 2016. So we are putting together a fact sheet for that. Also, we are putting together a brochure or flyer summarizing the significant changes to the roofing requirements and the mitigation requirements. As you know, the major changes were made to the roofing requirements, as updated under the 2020 FBC. So we'll keep you posted about through our mass email with regard to any updates, availability of materials, and so on. That's what I have for you on the work plan. Any questions?
Thank you, Mo. Commissioners, if there's no further discussion, is there a motion to approve the updated work plan schedule for the 2020 code update process, 7th edition, 2020? Is there a motion and second?
Bob Boyer made the motion. Hold for a second.
Compton second.
Commissioner Compton second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Next, we'll be considering the accessibility waiver applications. The commission will now consider this month's request for the accessibility waivers. Justin Vogel will serve as legal counsel and present the Accessibility Advisory Council's recommendations. Justin, please present the council recommendations regarding waivers requested in turn. Justin?
Thank you, Commissioner Schock. The first waiver application is Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office Training Center. This project is new construction. The project is currently in plan review. The issue is vertical accessibility to the second floor. The Accessibility Advisory Council recommended that the commission deny this waiver application. They cited as grounds to deny it that this is new construction and that the petitioner is a Title II entity. And I guess I would just note that since this isn't an ADA requirement, I would recommend if the commission does opt to go with the council's recommendation to deny that they use the grounds given in the staff analysis, which is that the petitioner has not demonstrated that the provision of vertical accessibility would cause unnecessary, unreasonable, or extreme hardship.
Thank you, Justin. You've heard the council's recommendations for denial based on the fact that the project in question is new construction and it is a Title II entity. Is there any discussion? And if not, I'll entertain motions.
This is Schiffer. I move that we accept council's recommendation.
So the basis for this will be the basis that Justin Vogel just laid out. They have not demonstrated unnecessary extreme hardship. That's the basis, correct, Justin?
Yes.
All right. Okay, that's the motion.
There's a second.
Make sure. Second word. Anyone in the public has a comment, Jeff?
Yeah, I was going to definitely do that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, does anybody from the public wish to comment on this particular waiver application?
Okay.
Doesn't appear to be the case, so.
So all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That motion carries. Justin?
The next waiver petition is Florida Association of Rehabilitation Facilities. This project is an alteration to an existing building or facility. The project is currently in plan review. The issue is vertical accessibility to the second floor. The project construction cost is $286,755. The compliance estimate plus the amount spent on accessible features is $407,842, which represents 142% of the cost of construction. The council recommended that this be denied because they felt that the building should be made vertically accessible and they felt that the commissioner could afford to do so. I would like to note that the cost of compliance for this project exceeds the 20% threshold established in the Code of Federal Regulations for alterations and adopted by Florida statute. So granting the waiver would appear to be required by Florida law in this case. I did advise the council that there were no apparent legal grounds to deny this waiver, but they chose to maintain their recommendation.
Okay. Or is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak on this?
And just to clarify, legal staff is recommending that legally granting the waiver is the
And can you hear me?
We can hear you, yes.
Oh, yeah. This is Connor Ross. We're here in our conference room with the user. We think that the advisory committee didn't understand the use of the building. I wanted to go over a little bit about the renovation project. It was really a minor renovation to the first floor, primarily where the primary function is. And accessibility was on the first floor was complete. We had to add some ramps, had to make the main door entrance accessible. The back stair was not accessible because the door's in a bad spot. So we fixed that. We've renovated the bathroom, the toilet rooms, and we took an old water cooler out that was in blocking the access down the corridor, and then we added a low-high corridor water heater. And we put levers on it and upgraded the fire alarm. And so we felt at the time that the primary function was 100% up to date, The building official said that we needed a variance because it's a two-story building, and so this is where we went. The variance is kind of, it's hard to get because the building's on a mat foundation, and so that the elevator had to be remotely added. So you're talking about actually an addition to the building in order to get the elevator on there. So I want that was the conditions of the building. Now I want to hand the phone over to Suzanne and Michael to talk a little bit about how the building's being used.
Thank you for the opportunity to come before the committee today to discuss our request for the elevator variance. I do want to begin by explaining that our association is not a direct provider of rehabilitative or health care services. I understand there was some confusion regarding our services and the traffic coming to the building, so I will explain a little bit. We are a trade association, an educational entity that has two lines of business. First, we represent the interests of about 60 agencies across the state of Florida. These agencies actually provide services to individuals with disabilities. Our office provides lobbying, information sharing, networking opportunities, and troubleshooting services for our members. On rare occasions, members may visit who are disabled or vision impaired, but that is atypical. We tend to visit our members across the state, and most of them are located in Central and South Florida. Our second line of business is we serve as a central nonprofit agency that manages a program called Respect of Florida. And that program oversees a network of about 50 nonprofit agencies across the state. And the individuals working with those nonprofit agencies produce goods and services for governmental entity purchasing. Our staff provide the back office support for the program. Practically all the interactions with our partner agencies occur at their local sites throughout Florida. Last year, we purchased the building at Mahan Drive in Tallahassee, Florida, as our new headquarters site. For many years, we've been housed on the second floor of a strip mall. Access required going up the steps or navigating through a balcony that serves as an outside bar. ADA access was challenging, so we understood the need for improvements. When we bought the Mahan Drive property, we were very much eager to have a building that would be ADA accessible. We designated the bottom floors the primary office for the association, and we spent a great deal of money ensuring compliance since we understand many of the issues with individuals face regarding access to buildings. We went in and moved the conference room to the front of the building from the back, cut double wide doors in the conference room for wheelchair access, realigned a door in a cement block stairwell to make access to the bathrooms easier. The downstairs bathrooms are being totally remodeled to ensure ADA compliance, and an ADA compliant water cooler is being installed. Outside of the building will feature a wide ADA compliant entrance. The second story of the building will house about 9 staff who provide back office support for the Respect program. About half of these travel on a regular basis. Others provide customer service such as online orders and catalog purchases that are handled either by telephone or through online ordering. Interaction with Respect clients occurs again across the state at the local sites, not in our office. In the event one of our 9 employees housed upstairs needs ADA accommodations, we have an extra office on the first floor that can be used by any employees. Also, if need be, we can switch out some of our central business unit staff to the second floor to accommodate any access needs. Our motivation for buying this building was to reduce our annual operating expenditures by about $90,000 so that we can posture ourselves to reduce the administrative fee that the state pays for this program. By reducing the fee by 0.5%, which the total fee is 6%, if we reduce it one half of 1%, we make our pricing more competitive for governmental agency purchasing so the agencies can realize more buying power. This would allow us to create more jobs for individuals with disabilities who are either disabled or blind. We simply cannot accomplish this and incur more debt through having to install the elevator. If we do not obtain the variance, we will have to obtain financing of probably close to $300,000 for an outside elevator. This means we will not be able to reduce our fee for several more years and totally defeats the purpose of what we were wanting to accomplish, which is to create more work opportunities for people with disabilities. For the above reason, your favorable response to the variance is requested. Thank you.
Ma'am, could we get your first and last name, please?
President and CEO of the Florida Association of Rehabilitation Facilities, Tallahassee, Florida.
Could you get a little closer to the phone? I couldn't quite hear you, sorry.
Just a name is what he's looking for right now. Your first name.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead, one more time. We're not able to hear you like we could before.
Hold on.
There you go.
Suzanne Sewell, President and CEO of the Florida Association of Rehabilitation Facilities.
Thank you.
All right, Commissioner Schock, why don't we take it back to the commission and see if there's any questions. And just
all right. Thank you. Commissioners, you've heard the council's recommendations was for denial, stating that it is economically feasible and should be made accessible. And you've heard our legal counsel's recommendations. And Justin, I don't want to put words in my mouth, so correct me if I'm wrong, but you believe that there's no legal, it's not legally sufficient to deny. And it sounds like they met the 20% rule.
That's correct. They've met the 20% threshold in that under those circumstances, Florida statutes requires that the waiver be granted on the grounds of economic hardship.
So that's what we're looking for.
Yeah. So that would be the alternate motion. So is there a motion at this point?
Yeah, Commissioner Schilling, I move the motion to grant the waiver on the considerable cost and related hardship.
All right. Grant on the grounds of economic hardship.
And I second that. This is John.
All right.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Justin?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I sincerely apologize for interrupting the flow. This is Elliot Camper with the Okaloosa County. Phone would not allow us to speak when our item came up. We were trying to identify ourselves, but the phone, you couldn't hear us apparently. Is there any way we could, Mr. Schmidt, the project manager, could at least provide our comments on the decision that was made just a few minutes ago?
Let's finish going through the rest of these waivers, and then I'll ask if there's any motion to reconsider.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that would be my advice as well, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Justin?
Thank you.
Yes, sir. The next waiver petition is Sunset Beach Suite Hotel. This is the project is an alteration to a historic building. The project is currently under design. The issue is vertical accessibility to the first, second, and third floors. The project construction cost is $1,633,279. The compliance estimate plus the amount spent on accessible features is $556,952, which represents 34% of total cost of construction. In this case, a letter from the Department of State was submitted by the petitioner stating that the provision of vertical accessibility to this property would damage historically significant aspects of the feature, and accordingly the council voted to recommend that this waiver be granted on the grounds of economic hardship and the historic nature of the structure.
Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak? Hearing none. Commissioners, you've heard the council's recommendations to grant based on the grounds of economic hardship and historic nature of the property. Is there any discussion?
So,
is there a motion?
This is Schilling, and I move the motion to grant the waiver based on the economic hardship and the historic nature of the property.
Dickoff will second.
Motion has been made and seconded. If there's no further discussion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Justin, item four.
Next waiver petition is for Normandy Hotel. This is also an alteration to a historic property. The project is currently in plan review. The issue is vertical accessibility to all four levels. The petitioner provided a letter from the Department of State indicating that the provision of vertical accessibility to this property would damage historically significant aspects of the structure, and accordingly, the council voted to recommend that this waiver be granted on the grounds of historic nature.
Thank you, Justin. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak? Hearing none, is there a motion? You've heard the council's recommendations to grant the waiver based on the grounds of historical significance. Is there any motions?
Schiffer will second.
Schilling and Schiffer.
Yes.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Justin, item five.
Item five is 333 Jefferson Holdings, LLC. This project is an alteration to an existing building or facility. The project is currently in plan review. The issue is vertical accessibility to the second floor. The project construction cost is $470,435. The compliance estimate plus the amount spent on accessible features for the project is $616,462, which represents 131% of the total cost of construction. Accordingly, the Accessibility Council recommends that this waiver be granted on the grounds of economic hardship.
Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak? Hearing none. Commissioners, you've heard the council's recommendations to grant based on the grounds of economic hardship. Is there discussion? Is there a motion?
This is Schilling. I move the motion to grant the waiver based on the disproportionate cost and the historic nature of the property.
No, that's not it.
Just economic hardship.
Yeah, it's economic hardship.
That's fine.
Okay. Is there a second?
That. Schiffer seconded it.
Schiffer second. All right. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Now there is a request for reconsideration of item one, the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office Training Center. Is there a...
Mr. Massey, yes. Can I say things before we start, just so we could kind of organize this?
Okay.
Two things. One is the actual motion that the commission made was slightly different than that from the council, and I think it's an important distinction that Justin laid out. And that is the fact that it's new construction, that the petitioner has not demonstrated the provisions of total accessibility would cause unnecessary, unreasonable, extreme hardship. So that's slightly different than the council. So that's what the commission actually approved. So if the commission wishes to reconsider this, then we could just take a motion to reconsider. If that passes, we would go back. That would sort of void the previous decision, and we would go back to public comment and then back to the commission for whatever their motion is. But I would like to ask anybody if the commission chooses to do this, that we keep our presentations, you know, concise and simple, and the commission will have a chance to ask questions to further elaborate if they need that information.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. So in that light, is there a motion for reconsideration of item one?
Brown moves reconsideration.
Is there a second?
Goff will second.
Motion has been made and seconded for reconsideration. Do you have to take a vote on that, Jeff?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Okay, so we're going to need to get a count. All right. If you're opposed to it, just say your name one at a time, please.
Schilling.
All right, we have Commissioner Schilling.
Hamburger.
Commissioner Hamburger.
Schiffer.
Commissioner Schiffer. Okay, who else?
Boyer.
Commissioner Boyer. Who else? All right, so the vote is, was there another?
Yeah, Compton, sorry. I couldn't get off mute.
It's okay. Anybody else? All right, so the vote is 20 in favor, 5 opposed, so the motion passes.
Okay, so we're back to square one now on item one. Justin, just to go over it once again, would you go ahead and present that again?
I'd be happy to, yeah. So, again, this is the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office Training Center. This project is new construction. The project is currently in plan review, and the issue is vertical accessibility to the second floor. The Accessibility Advisory Council recommended that this waiver petition be denied on the grounds of it being new construction, and the council also included that they felt that this was a Title II entity, and that was, those were grounds. I noted that since this is a Florida-specific and not an ADA requirement, I would advise that if the commission wishes to deny that it not cite the Title II aspect that the council was concerned with, but rather what it, the commission did in its prior motion, that the petitioner has not demonstrated that provision of vertical accessibility in this new construction would cause unnecessary, unreasonable, or extreme hardship.
Okay. Now let's have public comment again.
All right. Thank you. Can you hear me? This is Steve Schmidt.
Yes. Yeah, we can hear you. Just say your name and representation, please. Steve Schmidt.
All right. My name is Stephen Schmidt with Okaloosa County. And okay. I apologize for the technical issue. Apparently, my phone would not come off mute, even though it said it did. So I appreciate the opportunity to readdress this. Obviously, you have familiarity with the exceptions. Section 553.509(1)(c) of Florida statutes and 201.1.1(3) of the FAC provides an exception for occupiable spaces and rooms that are not open to the public and that house no more than 5 persons, including but not limited to equipment control rooms and projection booths. The entire second floor of this facility will not be open to the public. It will be accessible only to authorized personnel by key card. The authorized personnel in this case are those deputies who pass the standard of physical fitness established by Florida Statute 943.13 and a Criminal Justice Standards and Training Commission established Florida Administrative Rule 11B-27.002 assessment. That's commonly known as the Form 75. Further, the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office job description for deputies stipulates that they meet the standards of the Sheriff's Office General Order 36.12, which defines their wellness and physical abilities testing program. That program effectively requires that they be able to climb stairs. With approximately 653 square feet of designated storage space, 2 offices, a small conference room, and 2 bathrooms adjoining the tactical training space on the second floor, it's not intended to house more than 5 persons. You can't see me, but you can assume that every time I say house or housing, that I'm using air quotes. The salient part of this exemption for the use of the verb, in this transitive verb, house, which is not defined in the standards, rather than the more definitive occupancy. I think that's pretty important. The nearly 2,400-page Webster's New Universal Dictionary defines the transitive verb house as to, quote, abide or to reside. Dictionary defines the definition to provide with a place to work, as in, this building houses our executive staff. Merriam-Webster, Macmillan, Cambridge Learners, every dictionary I checked advanced the verb house as being a longer-term occupancy, such as a classroom building housing the instructors who had offices there, but not the students, or a gym housing the staff, but not visiting patrons. Given that, the second floor of the training center in question will house 1 lieutenant, 1 sergeant, and 2 rangemasters for a total of 4. The tactical training room will only be periodically used for highly technical firearms and self-defense training classes for sworn officers as previously defined. Based on that, this section alone would appear to qualify the second floor space for an exception. The Board Accessibility Code Section 201.1 scope states that the code, quote, establishes standards for accessibility to places of public accommodation and commercial facilities by individuals with disabilities, and goes on to simply say, quote, this code shall also apply to state and local government facilities, without regard as to whether such facility may be available for general, facility-wide, or regular public accommodation. Quite possibly, the crafters of the language assume that all state and local government facilities might be regularly accessible to the public, and therefore the language wouldn't require further clarification. While crafting the language, they almost certainly did not consider a county sheriff's office training facility located in the woods, 200 yards off a main road, adjacent to a large practice firing range where the entire facility is surrounded by a 7-foot-high chain-link fence topped with barbed wire, and which is only open to the public accommodation through a locked gate for occasional concealed carry training on the fully accessible ground floor by invitation. The Americans with Disability Act, ADA, does not require two-story buildings that are not a shopping center, shopping mall, or the professional office of a medical provider to have vertical accessibility. Florida Accessibility Code Advisory 201.1 scope states, quote, where the ADA standards do not require an accessible route to each and every level, the Florida requirement may be waived down to the requirement of the ADA standards. Finally, in the event one of the staff permanently housed in the facility becomes temporarily disabled, ergo a broken leg, that individual can be assigned a temporary workstation in one of the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office accessible facilities. Training conducted by the disabled employee could be conducted either in the first floor of the subject building or at another Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office facility. These measures are consistent with the reasonable accommodation criteria approved in Section 12111 of the ADA. Based on this, we feel the use clearly defines the requirement for an elevator or lift as unnecessary, if not unreasonable, and respectfully request an exception to the requirement for vertical accessibility other than the two ample stairways connected to observation decks for the firing range at each end of the building. Once again, I want to stress that the second floor building is not accessible to the public, and it is only accessible by sworn officers that have to pass rigid standards for physical fitness that require that they be able to climb stairs. And thank you very much for allowing me to present this.
All right, thank you. Any other person from the public?
Yes, can you hear me? This is Sheriff Ashley.
Yes, go ahead, Sheriff Ashley.
Thank the commission for taking this item up. And I certainly echo what Mr. Smith said. This is a certified law enforcement facility only. It's no administrative or public services are offered at this building. There's no fingerprint records. It's not intended for anything except a training center for certified law enforcement officers. And I would beg the commission to grant this waiver because it's unnecessary. And I'll answer any questions the commission may have.
Thank you. Let's go back to the commission at this point.
Commissioner Brown.
Yeah, Jeff, do you want to stack names? We may have a couple people.
Yeah. All right, so Commissioner Brown, who else would like to speak up from the commission?
Compton.
I would.
All right. We'll start with that. We'll go Commissioner Brown, Commissioner Compton, Commissioner Shock. Commissioner Brown.
Okay.
Initially, my motivation for offering the motion to reconsider was simply the fact that they wanted to speak and didn't have the opportunity because they couldn't get their phone unmuted. But I am really glad that we did this because the arguments that they are making seems very compelling to me. Unless there is some specific legal reason that would prevent us from offering this exception, I believe it would be appropriate to do so. I would be prepared to make that motion at the appropriate time, but I'll wait until the rest of the discussion takes place and but it was a very compelling argument, in my opinion.
Commissioner Shock, if you don't mind, maybe it would make sense if you agree that we allow Justin to speak to some of the exceptions that were laid out by the applicant, and then we can go back to our list. That may be helpful for the discussion. Does that make sense to you?
Sure, that's fine. Justin?
I'm sure, Commissioner Shock. I guess to begin with, I would note that The exception that the petitioner is noting in 533.509 with respect to occupiable spaces and rooms not open to the public that house no more than five persons, that does exist. I do not believe that they brought that up in front of the council, and then I've been reviewing the application online, the information there, and it's the first time that it's been mentioned. So that's fine. I would just note that I don't believe that any documentation of this in writing has been provided. This is the first time that this is being brought to anyone's attention. But the commission can handle that as it likes. With respect to Commissioner Brown's worry about whether there's any impediment for the commission granting this, I would say no. This, if the commission felt that in this case it was simply unnecessary to provide vertical accessibility, that is a ground. It's one that the commission occasionally does use in the case of new construction. And that can be issued on a case-by-case basis where it's unnecessary and it would cause, obviously, an economic hardship to provide it. So those are two separate avenues. The exception that the petitioner now has brought up with respect to the number of individuals that would be housed in the space, or just whether the commission found that this was an unnecessary to provide it in this particular instance and it would cause hardship to do so.
Hey, Jeff, this is Mom and Dad. If it's okay to speak to the chair.
Go ahead, Mom.
Yeah, I think really Justin's agree with the fact that this exception and the five decibel limits or was not really brought into the application. New information provided at this point. And it's an exception in the code. So the building official can act with an exception within the code. If it's an occupiable space such as a room, enclosed space, and storage spaces that are not designed for human access, if it's true that the building official can act on this exception. It's a code exception. So, but yeah, this is really not something that we have seen in the application. As an information. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks.
All right, Commissioner Compton. Yes, sir. Commissioner Compton.
Yeah, I guess my one concern with this being new construction, I know that they're currently talking about housing the five people up in that that second story. I think my concern is intentions are great, but what happens six months down the road and now they got 30 people up there. So I understand what their intention is to use for this, but this is new construction. So that's my comment.
Okay. Commissioner Shock, you're next.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. I'm not so easy to not talk about the Title II entity part of this. My question, I actually have a question, I guess, for the sheriff, is the training and everything that is done upstairs, is that available at another location within that governmental body, at a place where it is ADA compatible?
Yes, sir. That training would be available on the bottom floor of this facility or at the facility at our headquarters in Shalimar. Is where we do a great deal of our public training for firearms qualifications is here in our office in Shalimar, and the entire bottom floor of the firing range of this facility that we're discussing would be prepared for that.
Okay, so any training that is done upstairs can be done at another location, at an accessible location.
Yes.
That answers my question, because Title II does have that extra requirement, I guess you could say, over and above, I think, that exception. But as long as they have that ability to have that training at another location, I think we're good. So with that, that's my comment.
Any other commissioners before I go to Commissioner Brown, who requested an opportunity to make a motion?
Sir, this is Commissioner Schilling. I have a comment.
Go ahead, Fred.
So my only concern is that, this is a brand new building. It's almost a $2 million building. And so I have a lot of experience working at departments and public buildings. That's how we mix with the contractors. And so the only concern I have is that and we see this on a regular basis, is that the intent of the use of this second floor facility at this moment is one that I see on a constant and regular basis, city buildings where the intended use is changed in maybe not even just a 6 month period of time. And the functionality of that space becomes something entirely different. And so based on that, I'd say the fact that it is a new building and it's almost a $2 million building, I think it would be unfortunate to have a nice new building like that that doesn't have, you know, vertical accessibility for the you know, possibility that the intended use might change, and you know, it could be 6 months, could be a year. And obviously, it's going to be a lot of possibility at that time. So, so based on that, you know, I would move a motion to deny the waiver.
All right. Well,
Shipper,
go ahead, Brad.
Okay, thanks.
Just one second, Brad. What I think would be preferable is if we let all the commissioners who want to speak first before we make any motion, so that everybody has an opportunity to get their points across, and then we'll find out what motions you want to make. So go ahead, Brad.
Justin, I'm still hung up on the title too. Do you believe that there is exceptions for a facility or for a use like this?
I'm sorry, Commissioner Schiffer. I mean, as far as the ADA or in the title, or Title II or anything goes, I mean, I'm not really including that in my legal analysis, because what we're looking at here, as far as I evaluated, is the Florida-specific requirements provide vertical accessibility in this structure. We can't waive any ADA requirements. We can only waive vertical. The commission can only waive Florida-specific requirements. And so I don't know that there is a Title II sort of tie-in to the vertical accessibility requirement found in Florida statutes, which is why I haven't focused on it.
Okay.
One second, Mo. Let's let Brad, go ahead, Brad. Brad's still going, then I'll get you. Go ahead, Brad.
What you're saying, Justin, in terms of Title II, that would be something that would be reviewed someplace else. It really isn't what we're reviewing today.
I believe so, and actually, I would solicit any comments that Mr. Madani has. He might be more familiar with those provisions than I am.
Go ahead, Mo.
Yeah, I think when you read ADA, the 2010, it is a differentiation between Title II entities and Title III, which is public accommodation. In terms of the vertical accessibility, those exceptions that are really for Title III entities do not apply to Title II entities. In this case, this building will be required to be vertically accessible under that Title II. However, there is the program access, and there is a lot of exceptions involved there to really with regard to the vertical accessibility for Title II entities, which is really not our subject in this case, as Justin said. We're only addressing this from the standpoint of the vertical accessibility for the specific requirement. So that's all what we're addressing. I don't think we can get into the Title II requirements for the ADA. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Any other commissioner have any comments? All right, Commissioner Brown, I'm going to turn it to you since you asked first.
Thank you, and Mr. Chairman. I certainly have sympathy for some of the arguments that's been made against granting this. I think Commissioner Shipper made a good point, and that is the change of use of the building could occur in the future, and that's certainly something that would be unfortunate. But in this particular case, I think that argument is overcome by the explanation that was offered by the Sheriff's Department in this particular case. I mean, let's just review real quickly. This is a facility that's somewhat remote, surrounded by a 7-foot fence with barbed wire over the top. You probably have to have a card or a code to get in. Addition to that, the space that we're referring to, if I remember correctly, you had to have a badge or a card to get in there. Officers who are using it are required to be physically fit to use it. If they're disabled, they've got alternative spaces. If they are temporarily disabled, I think common sense would indicate in this case that any concerns that we have about a future change in the occupation of the building is overcome by all the arguments that's been made. So, based upon that, I would be prepared that we grant the waiver with a condition, and that is that the applicant resubmit their application to include the sites for the exceptions that staff has indicated were not included in their original submission. But if that's done, I believe they clearly qualify for it and would move that we grant the exception.
And Commissioner, would that be granted on the basis of unnecessary, unreasonable, and extreme hardship? Or yes. Extreme hardship? Okay.
Yes.
And pardon me, this is Justin Vogel, the Commission's counsel. Commissioner Brown, so with that condition, are you saying that you would like the petitioner to provide documentation of the number of individuals that were working in that space? Because they wouldn't actually have to be to grant under the grounds that you have provided. Because it wouldn't be under that particular exception. This would depend it's unnecessary and unreasonable and cause hardship, essentially.
Based on that explanation, Justin, I would drop the requirement that they resubmit.
All right.
So we have a motion. Is there a second? The motion is to grant based on unnecessary or unreasonable or extreme hardship.
This is Dave Gilskin. You guys hear me yet?
Yes, we can, Dave.
All right, yeah, the call back in. So there's definitely an issue with muting because you haven't been able to hear me. At any rate, yeah, I'll second that motion also.
All right. We have a motion and a second from Commissioner Brown and Gilson, respectively.
Discussion. Is there any further discussion?
I'm going to take the vote, Mr. Chairman, by voice call, if that makes sense.
Okay, that's fine.
Because I don't think it's going to be unanimous. So you're voting yes or no for the motion, which is to grant. Commissioner Schock?
Yes, based on they have program accessibility.
All right. Commissioner Bahadori? All right. Commissioner Batts.
Yes.
Okay, Commissioner Bahadori is yes. Commissioner Batts. Jim? You might have to unmute yourself. Commissioner Batts, are you there? I'll come back. So Commissioner, you should be unmuting yourself as soon as possible. Commissioner Boyer?
No.
All right. Commissioner Brown?
Jim, can you hear me now? Jeff, can you hear me now?
Yes, Jim, we can. What's your vote?
I'm a yes.
Okay. Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Smith-Burke?
Yes.
Commissioner Kaya? Oscar? Commissioner Compton?
No.
Commissioner Dean?
Yes.
Commissioner Fisher?
Yes.
Commissioner Gatlin?
Yes.
Commissioner Gerwig?
No.
Commissioner Gilson?
Yes.
Commissioner Goff?
Yes.
Commissioner Gross?
Yes.
Commissioner Homburger?
Yes.
Commissioner John?
Yes.
Commissioner Langille?
Yes.
Commissioner Schiffer?
I'm going to vote yes based on the comment that there's only going to be five or less people on the second level.
Okay. Commissioner Schilling?
Yes, not only yes, I also agree with Commissioner Schiffer based on the...
Okay. Commissioner Smith?
Yes.
Commissioner Stone?
Yes.
Commissioner Swope?
Yes.
Commissioner Whitehead?
Yes.
Commissioner Wiseman?
Yes.
Let me check one more time for Commissioner Kaya. Oscar, are you on? All right, so the vote is 21-3 in favor. The motion passes, unless Commissioner Kaya is still on the phone. All right, so the motion
I'm
to
here.
Grant. So how do you vote?
Yes.
All right, the vote is 22 in favor, 3 in opposition. The motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We're ready to move on now to the consideration of applications for product approval and entity approval. Commissioner Stone will present the POC's recommendations for entity approval and the consent agenda for products recommended for approval. And Jeff Blair will present the POC's recommendations for products approvals with discussion and our comments.
They didn't go far enough.
We will start with the entity approval applications, followed by the consent agenda of product approval applications recommended for approval, and conclude with the product approval.
Excuse me, Todd, can you mute caller number 46, please? Go ahead.
Thank you. Commissioner Snow will now present the entity approval applications and product approval applications on the consent agenda. Commissioner Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Product Approval Program Oversight Committee met via teleconference on May 21st. There were 28 entities on the consent agenda for approval, all of which were renewals and or revisions. Move approval of the consent list of entities.
Compton second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed?
There were 132 product approval applications without comment on the consent agenda. Move approval of the consent agenda, 132 products.
Is there a second?
Brown second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 There are only two products with comments, and Jeff Blair promised to give us a discount on his charges for the small number of comments.
It's duly reflected in my report, Mr. Chairman. All right. First is product 31761. It's recommended for conditional approval to allow the applicant to change the impact resistance to yes under limited use or subproduct 1.0. Is there anybody from the public? Commissioner Stone.
Move consent. Move conditional approval.
Compton second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Jeff?
And finally, on our long list, product 31767 is recommended for approval. Any public comment? Hearing none.
Move approval, Stone.
Compton second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Next, we'll consider applications for creditor and course approvals. Commissioner Nandine will present the educational POC recommendations regarding applications for creditor and course approval. Nan?
Thank you. First, I want to check with Commissioner Schiffer. I believe he may want to abstain from course number 967.0. Is that correct?
You're correct.
Okay. Was there any other courses that anyone needed to abstain from? We have quite a list here. All right. I move the following new courses be approved based on the FBC accreditation process that only verifies the accuracy of the Florida Building Code-related content. And those courses are 965.0, 963.0, 951.0, and 969.0.
We need a second.
Second, Stone.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. I move the following administratively approved updated courses be approved based on the FBC accreditation process that only verifies the accuracy of the Florida Building Code related content. And those are courses 881.1, 901.1, and 689.2.
Second, Stone.
Motion is made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Commissioner D.
Thank you. I move the following self-affirmed one-change courses be approved based on the FBC accreditation process that only verifies the accuracy of the Florida Building Code related content. And those courses are 854.0, 853.0, 912.0, and 821.2.
Second Stone. Sorry, one question. Commissioner Dean, it's probably an error on my part, but did you say 725.2 as well?
I did not, sir. 725. No, that will be a conditionally approved course.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed? That motion carries. Mr. Dean?
Thank you. These will be the conditionally approved courses, and I believe this is the course that Commissioner Schiffer would like to abstain. I move course number 967.0 be conditionally approved based on the FBC accreditation process that only verifies the accuracy of the Florida Building Code related content subject to the noted 6th edition 2017 code references being changed to the 7th edition 2020 code and the word graphics in the course title being changed to symbols.
Is there a motion? Is there a second?
Second, Stone.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries with one abstention.
I move course number 964.0 be conditionally approved based on the FBC accreditation process that only verifies the accuracy of the Florida Building Code related content subject to the addition of course content timeline and the identification of the correct answers for the post-course exam.
Second, Stone.
Your discussion. Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you. I move the self-affirmed one change course number 629.2 be conditionally approved based on the FBC accreditation process that only verifies the accuracy of the Florida Building Code related content subject to a complete list of current code versions be added to slides 6, 14, and 69.
Second, Stone.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you. I move self-affirmed one-change course number 725.2 be conditionally approved based on the FBC accreditation process that only verifies the accuracy of the Florida Building Code related content subject to the 2014 code reference in the footer of the syllabus being updated to the 7th edition 2020 and slide 18 being updated with the current code and related information.
Second, Stone.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you, Commissioner Dean.
Thank you. Our last course is I move the self-affirmed one-change course number 900.1 be deferred until the next meeting based on the FBC accreditation process that only verifies the accuracy of the Florida Building Code-related content.
Second, Stone.
Motion is made and second. Any further discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you, Commissioner Dean.
Thank you.
Next, we'll move along to legal reports. Justin will report on relevant legal matters of interest to the commission. Justin?
Thank you, Commissioner Schock. My only item to report is that I have drafted the commission's 2020-2021 annual regulatory plan, which has been provided to you. If the commission approves the plan, I will submit it to the department for publication.
So we're looking for a motion, Commissioner Schock.
If there's no further discussion, is there a motion to approve the 2020-2021 annual regulatory plan as presented and to authorize publication of the plan by DPPR? And is there a second? Motion and a second.
Need a motion, commissioners.
I would make that approval. Okay, yeah.
All right, Commissioner Kaya, who made the second?
Brown.
Commissioner Brown.
Okay, Commissioner's made and seconded. No further discussion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Next, we will move on to petitions for declaratory statement. If you wish to speak on a declaratory statement, please come to the public comment table virtually. Once the specific declaratory statement is introduced, Justin Vogel will serve as the commission's counsel. After legal counsel reviews the petition, I will ask for public comment on each petition prior to the commission considering the same. Justin.
Thank you, Commissioner Schock. The only declaratory statement on the agenda today is DS 2020-022 by Edward C. Badiou of CEBB Engineering and Testing Company. The Roofing TAC considered this petition on May 22, 2020 and felt that it needed more information from the petitioner about the project in order to properly analyze the questions. The petitioner waived his right to receive an answer within 90 days. And the TAC voted to recommend that the commission defer answering this petition in order to allow the petitioner to submit more information.
Thank you, Justin. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak on this petition? Hearing none. If there's no further discussion, commissioners, is there a motion to defer action on the petition pending the applicant providing additional information?
So moved.
Poirier, so moved.
Boyer made the recommendation. Who seconded it?
I'll take the second. Slope.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Next, we will move on to binding interpretation number 185. Binding interpretation number 185 was petitioned by John Winfrey regarding the Orange City building official's interpretation pursuant to the Plumbing Code, Chapter 3, General Regulation, Section 312. The issue involves a petition for a binding interpretation on the building official's interpretation regarding whether a gauge is required to prove a water supply system is not leaking when the water supply system is permanently tied into a local municipal water supply system and under working pressure. Momodani will brief the commission on the binding interpretation. No?
Yeah, this is Momodani. As stated by Chairman Schock, the way that this issue was addressed is through Section 2503.7 of the Florida Building Code Residential. And as stated here, the section says that upon completion of the water supply system or section of it, the system or the portion completed shall be tested and proved tight. And the issue was, at that point, this was a new construction. So you have a single family dwelling where the water distribution system was plastic or material plastic, the PVC. And the question is, is again required to provide to rule system tied when the water supply system is permanently installed. In this case, the answer was, yeah, according to section 2543.7 of the residential code, pressure gauge to be utilized is required to make sure that the system is tied. And that's when the inspector is unable to observe the entire piping system and connections. And that's really talking about when a stage where you're doing a rough-in inspection. And also they elaborated the fact that when there's a minor repair, modifications are made on the water supply system, then, the inspector can observe each piping connection for leaks. A pressure gauge is not required. Thank you.
Thank you, Mel. And there's no action needed on that?
No action, no.
So we will move on to the committee reports and recommendations. Committee chairs, please confine your TAC and POC reports to a brief summary of key issues and recommendations emphasizing any issues requiring an action from the commission. Please frame any needed commission actions in the form of a motion. Acceptance of a committee report does not approve any recommendations contained within the report, and specific recommendations must be considered by separate motion. There's no need to read the TAC or POC minutes, since their complete minutes will be linked to the committee's subsequent meeting agenda for approval by the respective committees. We'll begin with the educational POC. Commissioner Dean will now present the educational POC report and any recommendations. Commissioner Dean.
Thank you. The education POC met on May 15th at 10 a.m. After establishing a quorum, we reviewed the courses that I brought to the commission today. We had an administrator's report, and we adjourned at 10:43 a.m. I move approval of the report.
Is there a second?
A second. John.
Motion has been made and seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Next will be the Hurricane Research Advisory Committee. Jeff Blair will please present the committee's report and any recommendations. Jeff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The HRAC met on April 30th, 2020. They reviewed and accepted three draft interim reports from the principal investigator, University of Florida, concurrently with the structural TAC. They then met and discussed two proposed research projects submitted by FIU. They identified some potential research topics for next year, and they'll meet again later this year, probably in June, late June, to provide the commission to review research projects and provide the commission with recommendations. That's my concludes the report.
Thank you, Jeff. Since I was on that that phone call, I will make the motion to accept the Hurricane Research Advisory's committee report, April 30th, 2020. Any recommendations will be considered by the separate motion, which we'd have none at this point. Is there a second to the report? Motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
If we could just clarify who made the second, it kind of all happened at once.
Schiffer, John.
Schiffer, okay. So the motion was made by Commissioner Schock and seconded by Schiffer. Very good.
Right. Gotcha. Okay, next is the product approval POC. Commissioner Stone, would you please present the POC, the product approval POC report and any recommendations?
Thank you. In addition to the meeting, the issues we've already addressed, the POC reviewed 92 products approved by the DPVR staff, and there's no action needed with acceptance of the report.
Compton, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Next, we'll move on to the roofing TAC. Mr. Swope, would you please present the roofing TAC report Any recommendations?
Yes, the roofing tap met via teleconference on May 22nd at 10 o'clock. The purpose of the call was to discuss the declaratory statement 2020-022 that was previously earlier in this meeting deferred till later due to lack of information. The meeting was adjourned at 11:15. Move approval of the report.
Is there a second? Goff, second?
We have a second from Goff.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. I would make the report for the structural attack and any of those recommendations, and there is no recommendations. The structural attack met with a joint meeting of the research advisory attack on April 30th, 9 in the morning. We discussed and accepted the interim draft reports on the three research projects that were discussed earlier. And with that, we adjourn. And with that, I'll move the report.
Compton, second.
Motion is made and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you.
Mr. Shock, may I make a suggestion?
Take about a 5-minute break here before we start on the rulemaking.
I think that makes excellent sense.
Okay.
I was going to suggest it as well. So it's 10:07.
About a quarter after.
10:15 sharp. Sounds good. So folks, be back at 10:15 sharp. And don't forget about your phones on hold or mute or whatever. Not hold, but mute.